Morning, everybody. Today, I want to discuss a subject with you, which you're all very familiar with, and I have a title for you. Very unusual for me to actually give you a title, but I have a title for you today. It's called The Link Commandment. The Link Commandment. I know you all automatically know what the Link Commandment is, don't you? It's the commandment that links one half of the commandments to the other half of the commandments. In other words, you have four on one side and five on the other. There's a clue. But before we do that, I want you to turn to a prophecy. It's in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4 to 5. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4 to 5. And having said that, I marked it earlier and I nearly didn't find it. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child will be insolent towards the elder, and the base towards the honorable. Today I want to talk to you about the fifth commandment. And the reason I used that as an introduction was because we are told that is what happens when the fifth commandment is not honored, when the fifth commandment is not respected. But I want to look at it slightly different. I want to look from the point of view that the fifth commandment as a link commandment also tells us about how we're to have our relationship with God the Father. How we're to have this relationship with our elder brother, Jesus Christ, as well as how we're to have our relationship with our parents, our friends, our work colleagues, and everyone else that we meet on a day-to-day basis. But before we go on to that, turn with me to 2 Timothy. Again, it's chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You're all familiar with this one. It's verse 2 to 5. For men will be lovers of themselves. They'll be lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away. We live in a very disturbing time. I work in a job that allows me to meet, as it were, firsthand, some of the problems and difficulties that arise within families. My wife works within a school and sees some of the difficulties that can arise with children. And when you consider that we're talking in regard to my wife to a primary school, you can imagine that what we're seeing, what we're hearing, what's coming back is with very young children. You see, this prophecy of Isaiah that literally can be translated that toddlers will be their rulers is true. We're experiencing it. We see families split up because of what the children do, of how the children react. And do you want to know the problem? It's not the children. Oh yeah, I know. They do have no respect. They absolutely fight for their parents. They're not annoyed at kicking out or hitting or calling names or anything. These things are all happening. But it's not the children's fault. And it's not the children's fault because the command tells us. The fifth commandment tells us for the children, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. That's the first part of that commandment. Now, I'm in Deuteronomy 5, by the way, for this one. 5, and I'm looking at verse 16. And I'm looking at this one for a particular reason. You'll also find commandments in Exodus 20, verse 12. But I'm looking at Deuteronomy 5, verse 16 for a reason. And I've just got to get this out of my way, because when I was looking at this yesterday, this jumped into my mind. The next part of this commandment actually says, so that you may have in long life, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you. That it may go well with you. And as soon as I was reading that and thinking about that, a character from a TV program of the 60s jumped into my mind. Anybody got a guess? The TV program was called Star Trek. The character was called Spock. And why this ties in is because Spock has a particular thing that he always said when he greeted you. Live long and prosper. And live long and prosper is exactly this commandment. But you know, I was doing a wee bit of research on the internet too. And I come across an interesting thing. Did you know that when the Jewish priests would bless the house of Israel, they did it in a particular way? They would hold their hands out and they would separate their fingers, showing the two divided houses, and they would bless it like that. Now, if you remember Star Trek, how does that blessing go? Live long and prosper. It's exactly the same thing. I'm always fascinated by how we find these things all over the place. But who was Star Trek aimed at? Oh, I know. I know. Most Trekkies today are my age, or older. But the point is, the program itself was aimed at the young. So this commandment has been available to them in many different ways. They have heard this. They've researched this. They've learned this. They understand that there's a promise there, a blessing, that you can live a good, long, exciting life and not be in want, to actually have your needs met, to prosper, to be well off. Not necessarily rich, but to be well off. And that is a blessing that is going out from this commandment. The problem is, God views the disobedience of children very seriously. Most people who say, no, I'm sorry, don't agree with the law, don't think the Old Testament's right. I mean, a God that would say, this has got to be held dubiously. This is what they would tell you. Because they're referring to Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21. And it basically says that if the child is rebellious, disobedient, it should be taken before the elders, and if necessary, killed, stoned to death. Now, that is a law. That was what to do if a child became so rebellious that it refused totally to obey its parents. In all of the known history, in every aspect of it, that was never carried out. It was a command, but it was never done. No child, according to the Bible, according to any other historic text that we have, was ever executed for disobedience. No child. The threat was always enough. However, we're living in a world where the threat doesn't even exist. There is no respect. And it's no respect because the parents never got taught these commandments. The parents never understood what this was about. Their grandparents never understood these things either. Because if you want to consider the age group that we're talking about, you'll find that you're coming to the end of World War II, 1945, and the parents of those days were finding that the children of the 50s and the 60s were starting to be rebellious. And they were rebellious for a reason. They had just come out of a war scenario. They had just seen rationing right across the board. They had to do with very little. And all of a sudden, prosperity was coming. And with that prosperity, there was an openness of education. And with the openness of education, there was this reminder that yous are here and have freedom because of what they have given their lives. In other words, the soldiers who fought give you freedom. We hear it still today. But freedom took on a different meaning. Freedom wasn't to live at peace with your neighbor. Freedom was for you individually. And that was the change of focus on the message. So as we go through the 60s, we see rebellion. We see freedom of choice. Freedom to decide for oneself what is right and wrong. Freedom to walk away from the established practices and to reject parents' instruction. So if you were a child coming up in the 60s, and some of you may have been, you were among the first generation that this applies to. You were the ones where the problem starts. And why? Was it because your parents hadn't taught you right? No. They tried. But there was a spirit of disobedience, a spirit of rebellion that had stepped into the Western world, and it was fueled by two fronts. Believe it or not, my daughters hate this one. Music was the first thing that changed. The second thing that changed, and everyone else hates this one, is education. Education challenges religion. Education challenges authority. Education indicates to the young person that they have rights, that they are individuals, and that those, and as individuals, they have the right to determine for themselves what they should be doing with their lives. Now, most people say, well, that sounds all right, doesn't it? I mean, that sounds sensible. I mean, shouldn't they be encouraged to do the best they can and all the rest? But there's the problem. Children aren't able to make the proper decision. As parents, we have a responsibility towards our children. We have a responsibility to teach them the way of life, how to live successfully. But God put this fifth commandment. I always like this. If you do the commandments on a score of 1 to 10, guess what? This one always comes number 5. But even taking that as a little bit of humor, let's express another aspect. It is 1 to 5, and it is the first 4 commandments that we are going to have to look at if we want to understand the importance of this fifth one. Because the first commandment is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Have no other gods before him." That is a statement. They don't have any proof of it, but it's a statement. God is declaring that. I am one. But what's the first thing you learn about the fifth commandment? When honor your parents. Well, who are your parents? How many parents do you have? You say, I've got 2, don't I? No, you've got 1 set of parents. You've got a mother and you've got a father. You don't have 2 fathers. You don't have 2 mothers. I know in modern society sometimes that is suggested, but in reality, you do not have more than a singular father and a singular mother. And joined together, they become one family unit. That family unit reflects the oneness of the first commandment. You're one God. There is one family. And you're part of that one family. So you have 1 set of parents. So that's the first thing that you acknowledge within the fifth commandment. You are an individual with only 1 set of authority that has been put over you, your parents. The second thing that you notice in the commandments is the second commandment. Thou shalt not take unto thyself any graven image. It's very long, so I'm not going to elaborate it too much. But what's God telling us here? is telling us that you cannot worship him or relate to him using anything that he's created, because he has created a perfect image of himself. And he's established that perfect image of himself and put it on the earth. That's you, by the way, just in case we miss. Mankind is the perfect image of God. That's why you can't have anything else. When you look in the mirror, you're looking at God. You're looking at what God looks like. You are God's proof of his existence. You are his evidence. I remember people talking, they were discussing, how could you put this? They were discussing how much some children look like their parents or their uncles or their, you know, the family trait that comes down the line. And one of the things that you notice about this is that we who are parents see the similarities from ourselves or our parents within our children. And other people see them all the time and say, oh, you know that one came from so-and-so, or you know that one there was related to that one. Oh, why? Because they can see the similarity. They recognize the family traits. Just like in that second commandment. The family trait is always that we look like God. And because we look like God, the evidence is there that God is there. Because of us. Simply because we exist. No matter what else man tells you, no matter what else they come up with, there's always that one proof. You alone resemble God because he created you. And your children resemble you because you created them. Third commandment is thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Do you know, when you honor your parents, one of the things that you are instructed to do is not to dishonor them, to not call them names, to not belittle them, to not speak back to them. It is a dishonor to speak angrily to your parents, to tell them that they don't know anything. Unfortunately, it's also one of the most common things that's done. It's life. Because young people have this tendency to think, we know better than you do. We're living it. You've forgotten it. That sort of attitude. But guess what? We're guilty of that too. Because we forget that God has given us instruction, command, direction, all for our good. And we say, I don't know. Is it really necessary to do that? Could we not do it some other way? Could we not change this wee bit here or change that wee bit there? Or it just doesn't suit me today. We do that. We change things. We argue with God. It's exactly the same way as what we're having in the fifth commandment, which children do to their parents. We do to God on a day-to-day basis. We argue with him. We fight with him. We tell him, look, God, it's not really the same now as it was, you know, when Jesus walked the earth. We got computers and cars now. I mean, it's totally different. But it's not. We're still the same type of people. We don't change at all. You see, as you go through the first three commandments, it's easy to see how they relate to the fifth commandment, how it's a link commandment to all of them. What about this fourth commandment? I know it's a controversial subject at times, but what about the fourth commandment? Parents, have you ever decided that you are going to do something on a fixed day? Maybe you decide, right, we're all out working, we're all doing this, but we're going to have a family day. Wednesday night, everybody's here, cancel everything else, we're going to have a family night. And you want to set this up. And the kids say, I was going to go and see my friends. Or, I need to do homework. They'll come up with anything and everything because you have fixed the day. You have established when suits you. You have declared it. Because they're looking for you to back down. Because it means spending time with you. And that can be quite boring at times. what happens when God says to us, look, I'm going to give you one day in seven. One day. This is the day I pick. You can rest that day. You shouldn't work that day. Eat well that day. Have good fun that day. Make it a day like when you visit your granny and you have fun and, you know, everything's different. Make it a special day. Enjoy it. And we go, but Saturday's not really suitable for me. Everybody else is working. Maybe if we had it on Sunday. You know, at least everyone else is in the same wavelength. You know, sometimes one of the problems is we forget. God said he was going to be on this day. I'm going to be there that day. I'm not home. Sometimes in the other days. I'm doing other things. I'm busy. And that's a point we have to remember. We have to understand that the fifth commandment reflects the first four perfectly. It's a link commandment. But what about the other five? Go to the other direction here for a moment. How can your relationship with your parents and knowing how to care or honor or respect what they say have anything to do with your relationship with anyone else? Well, let's ask the question. The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not murder. Is there times when young people decide, you know, I really, 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 really wish you weren't there. I really, really, really wish you didn't have to stand in my way and stop me at achieving my goal of world domination. No, that's beside the point. Of course there is. Sometimes parents can be very frustrating. We can say things, no, you're not going out tonight. I don't care what's on. You're not going out tonight. You're staying at home. It's too dark. It's too wet. It's too this. It's too that. We can't afford it. Whatever. You're not going out tonight. And the child is seething. Just like we were when those things happened to us in the physical. But what about when these things also happen to you in the spiritual? You know, when you get problems and difficulties and you're suddenly stopped in your tracks. Not necessarily by God. Maybe by the law. You're in a hurry. Happily traveling along to go into your thing. You know the urgency that you're under. You know the importance of being there. But why did that guy with the uniform, well, that stupid little thing, have to point it at you and declare, no, I'm sorry, you're breaking the law. I'm stopping you for a while. I'm going to fine you. I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing, and mainly put 3 points in your license and hit you with a £60 fine. Why? You broke the speed limit. That ever happened to anybody? Of course, we're not looking for a show of hands. But it does happen. How do you feel after that happens? Do you say, oh, I'm so stupid, I shouldn't have done that? No, you don't. You say, rawr! You're angry. You're annoyed. If it was in your possibility, he wouldn't be a policeman anymore. That's exactly the same principle of what happens. You see, why did Jesus say, look, if you hate somebody, it's the same as killing them? Because we're breaking a commandment. We have to understand that when we get emotionally involved with things, one of the reasons we don't have complete control yet is because we're too. And sometimes when God tells us something, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to see a church being whittled down to a few people. Does it? But it's happening. What's the reason for it? God knows. We don't fully understand it, but we know it's true, for we see it. We have evidence of it. It doesn't make sense that when you pray for somebody who's sick, they don't get better. Because we can go to the Bible and we can see in the Bible that it says that they should get better. Because you're supposed to be exercising the authority of Jesus Christ. But we know that sometimes that doesn't happen. And it irritates us. It really irritates us. Nothing annoys you more, I'm speaking personal aspect here, as when you've anointed somebody and saw them healed. And somebody else, similar complaint, similar thing, anointed, and they're getting worse. Because you think, God's not a respecter of persons. What's going on here? Why? But the problem is us. We are the respecter of persons. I know it sounds silly, but we are. We think they're obviously doing something right. God healed them for that reason. Obviously that our person mustn't be. We do that. Now, you might even acknowledge the fact that you do it openly, but you do it in here, deep inside. You look for a reason for when things don't work out in your favor. But you know, there's a man in the Bible who absolutely and completely, second time, absolutely and completely was innocent. No, I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Job. I know, we say, well, I know God said that he was a perfect man this generation and that he didn't do anything wrong and there was none like him in all the earth. I know God said that, but, have you ever heard that but before? It's not in the Bible, by the way. The but exists only with us. And why? Because we can't see how Job, when he's righteous, powerful, friend of God, doing everything that's right, having to go through that sort of suffering. We don't see why God would allow him to be picked on. And look what he suffered. Loss of family, loss of income, loss of power, loss of prestige, and finally loss of health. But Job didn't do anything wrong. He's a typology. He's a type of Christ. Because he also didn't do anything wrong. But he had to suffer. And you are all Jobs. I know, that scared you. Why are you all Jobs? Because Jesus Christ has told you. Every single one of you who want to obey him, follow him, and do what he asks of you, will suffer as he suffered. You're not necessarily be nailed to a cross. But you're going to find that everything will work against you to a degree. You're continually being bombarded by an enemy. Within our hymns today, I noticed we're singing all these songs about dealing with our enemies and asking God, take them out and kill them. Really, that's basically what we were saying in those hymns, weren't we? But then I thought, but who are our enemies? Is it people's repentance? No. It's Satan. He's our enemy. And we want him to be taken away. We want Christ to return and to grab Satan and imprison him so that he cannot hurt or harm anymore. Not hurt or harm anymore. The link commandment, the fifth commandment, tells us that we're to honor our parents. That one commandment teaches us how to honor, respect, love, and obey God. It tells us how to have our relationship with our fellow man so that we don't steal them, cheat from them, or do anything else. Have you ever asked a kid, go and do this, and they come back, done. And you know, it takes half an hour to do that. You were 5 minutes. How is it done? How? So you go and you look. And what they've done is, they've went through the action. You know, if you were saying to them, tidy up the toys, they've went to the toy box, opened it, closed the lid, moved everything over into a corner, and left. Did you open the toy box? I did. Did you move the toys? I did. Did you actually tidy the place? What we call tidy. We do that. We're doing that with God all the time. But that's why we're under this persecution. Because the fifth commandment teaches us as parents to teach our children and to instruct them on how to live their lives. It tells us that when they don't do what we ask them, we're to enforce it. We're to explain to them the necessity of obeying instruction. We're to highlight to them that we're in charge. Is that useful to them to know? Well, yes, it is. Recently, I was thinking about an individual who I once heard who hired an apprentice. It wasn't really an apprentice, he just hired this wee fella. The wee fella had no knowledge of work at all. And so we started to say to him, okay, I want you to go out and I want you to brush that street. Simple enough job. You get a brush, you move all the loose stuff off the top of it somewhere where it can be dumped. A couple of hours went by, it came out, the street wasn't brushed. But the wee boy was actually working away. But he wasn't brushing the street. And the boy couldn't understand. He said, how could you have brushed that and not actually lifted anything? He says, what do you mean? He says, you haven't brushed it. Of course I brushed it. I've been brushing it for 2 hours. And a dispute starts. And they have this argument. And the young person tells him, I have brushed the street. I have done what you have asked me to do. I have completed everything. Guess what? He got his cards. In other words, he got sacked. He got rid of them because he was no use to him. Was it because he hadn't properly brushed the street? It was because he couldn't take instruction. He couldn't listen and understand that when the boss tells you to do something, you do it. Do you know, in some jobs, there is this little habit that employers will have of giving you what they call a stupid job, just to see what you do. It might be clean the toilets. It might be go and paint the fence. What fence? Well, at the point there is none. You see, they want to see how you're going to react. And they're also taking a bit of the mickey out of you, but that's all right, because they want to see your reaction. How will you react to the thing? Now, years ago, when we were growing up, we were always told that that was going to happen. People will test you out to see how you're going to react when you're put up against pressure or against problems. And so, in the farming aspect, you would have this at the home. You'd have been asked stupid things. You'd have been told to do certain things. Like, for instance, go and... what is it? I'm thinking of a good one. Go and pick the stones off the street. Why am I picking stones off a street? And put them in the side. Well, can I not take the tractor down and brush them in? No. Do it by hand. All I want to know is, will you do it? Will you do the job, even though there's 1,000 ways of doing it easier, more sensible and all the rest? Would you actually do the job? And sometimes God has that habit of asking us that. Would we do the job? No matter how stupid it sounds, no matter how silly it seems to be, would we do the job he asks us to do? And it's amazing how many times maybe we say, nah, I can't see really God really want me to do that. Nah, I misunderstand that. We shouldn't do that. Phoebe is, what, 20 months. Yes, I was going to say 19, but I've been corrected. 20 months. She's got to the stage now where you can give her orders. So there'll be a wee bottle of something at the side, like Coke or lemonade or some description, or water, as it sometimes is. And I'll say to her, Phoebe, come give me over that bottle. Oh, bottle. Oh, bottle. And we'll have this wee discussion here. And then she'll go and she'll grab it and she'll walk halfway to you and wait for you to complete the instruction because, you know, you have to keep saying it. You have to keep repeating it. Now, she's 20 months. You understand that. But imagine if that continued as she got older. Imagine if at 14, 15, 16, you were still having to work with the same principle. You wouldn't. They'll just say, get it yourself. But you can't... do that. We're to show respect. We're to show understanding. I told you earlier that it's not the kids that are at fault, it's the parents. And I told you earlier that most of the parents are grandparents now. In other words, this has been going on for a few generations. But if you want to make a change, if you want to show that Jews reflect Jesus Christ and all that he stands for, if you want to be able to take that command to love one another, you have to start with the fifth commandment. You have to start teaching it and applying it to yourselves. Because everybody here is a child of God. Everyone here has responsibilities to their Father in heaven, and to listen to the instruction of their elder brother, Jesus Christ. You don't grow out of the fifth commandment. It will always exist. It'll always be there.